I'll just start. Before I start, any questions about stuff? Anything from yesterday that was like, I didn't understand that, or can you explain that again, or anything else? No? Okay. What else? Oh yeah, in 2 weeks I'm not here, so I need to figure out what I'm going to do for that week, for the lectures. I don't know yet. Do you have any particular suggestions of like what would you prefer? Should I record lectures beforehand and then you can watch it on your own? Do you want to like some more exercises? Should I get somebody else to come in and be like explain some stuff? Should I move the lectures to the previous week and the next week or something? Any preferences, or can I just choose whatever's the least effort for me? So next week we will go into SQL again and learn how to create tables and constraints and stuff like that. And then the week afterwards, there was really no plan that was like laid out. So I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. But then I guess we would do some exercises or something, some practice stuff, I would guess. I could also teach like new stuff, but I feel like that's a bit too soon after learning something that is pretty big and important. So having that week as a break or just like of a reinforcement of the stuff you learned the previous week, I think could be okay. But yeah, you can think about it, and then if you have any stuff that you're like, I really want a lecture this week, can you please find somebody to give this lecture, then I can take care of it. But if not, like, I don't think it'll be an issue in terms of how much learning you do. I can just leave behind some, like, exercises and stuff, and you can just do it on your own. And this way, if some of you are, like, behind with assignments or with stuff from other subjects, you can also do that, and you don't have to worry about this subject for a week. So, yeah. Yeah. So I guess we'll just start. So yesterday we took an exercise and then did all the steps to arrive at the relational model. What we'll do today, I think, is just start with the exercise, make a diagram, and then see if we can arrive at the same relational model as we did yesterday. Just so we can try out that process, you can get familiar with how to go from the diagram to the model, and yeah, see if there's any differences. See, so you can evaluate yourselves what is the best like process for you. Yeah. How am I going to do this? Should I call in like volunteers to do this? Forced volunteers? Force people to make like parts of the diagram for me? Are there any like specific stuff that you've struggled with while doing the assignment that you want to like get answered, or that you want to practice more? you want to just do it yourselves? Should I do it myself? Okay. That is not really related to the diagram, but we can take that later, yeah. Yeah, but does everybody know how to like just start the diagram? Yeah, ish? No. Okay. I'll just do stuff. Let's see. So let's assume you've read the exercise and you've done this like filtering of figuring out what is important and what is just garbage in the description, right? From there you arrive at something like this, and then you kind of need to like start your diagram. And it's very easy for the diagram to just start being a mess very quickly if you just start from the top. As I'm sure a lot of you have faced. So what I usually do is just try to find the things that don't relate to anything else or that can be in the diagram as like standalone classes. So an example of this is, for example, user. We have name, mobile number, email, password, nearest stores, and address. Nearest stores we talked about yesterday, that this could be like an assumption that we would just use an algorithm to figure out what this is and just use some like external system. So this can not be in the diagram. And if you take this thing that I've copied and paste it from somebody else, somewhere else, we can have the user. They would have like a, yeah, an ID and a name and an address that could be a string, phone number, email, and yeah, oh, that actually fits pretty well. Okay. So then we just have this user entity, right? And then we just do the same for the stuff that doesn't really involve relationships with anything else. For example, the store. You can just copy and paste this store and give it like an ID and a name and an address or location, whatever. A phone number, an email, and this here, and a opening times opening times, and I can just say this is a string because I don't care. Yeah, so these are kind of standalone. The campaigns are kind of standalone too, right? They'll relate to articles, but there's nothing in the entity that is actually like no attribute that relates to something else. So say, for example, like the shopping carts, that is a relationship between the users and the articles. So we can just leave that for later when we actually have like the definitions of users and articles. For the orders, again, we're probably going to refer to like a user. So just take away like the most complex entities and just start with the easy ones, which is also like an easy way to get points in like exercises and exam and stuff. Just like, oh, here's some tables, like the easy ones, please give me some points so I don't fail. So I could do like campaign. The campaign would have an ID, a name, like a start date. An end date. That's enough. Shit, wrong one. Yeah, this one. So then we have like stores is taken care of, users is taken care of, campaigns is taken care of to some extent. Still need the relationships with articles for this. And then everything else kind of relates to like the product, right? So for a product, here we had the two concepts of like a product and what is a variant. So a variant would be like a product that has some more specific stuff associated with it. So a variant could be like different sizes of a t-shirt, different colors of jacket, whatever. So that means we're going to need two things. First, we're going to have like a product entity that is going to have a string. 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 So we have an ID, a name. Here we can also say that the price is specifically associated with a variant of a product and not the product itself. We can make that assumption. It's also good to write it down, like I assumed, like the price would be tied up with a specific variant of the product. Maybe they all have the same price. Maybe they have different prices. Maybe we want to like have just t-shirts of a specific color going on discount and then all the others just being the same price. So we can like make these assumptions because we don't have like the full picture. We don't have like a client to ask for like, hey, is this right or not? So you just have like a description of an exercise. So then you kind of, you're working with incomplete information. It's the same when you're working. You kind of like, you get a description of what the client expects your system is going to be. And then you kind of like fill in the blanks. And then you go back to the client and you're like, oh, I did this. And then they're like, oh, this is wrong. Redo it because I didn't tell you about this and this and this or these specific like business constraints. So for a product, we have the name. We can say we have the description. Which is also a string. We have the brand, and here we can say it's also a string just for simplicity. And then we'd have a demographic, which we can also just say it's a string. And then we have like categories and specific categories. And here, like also for brand, we can consider this to be a different entity altogether. There's no more information about brands per se in the description of the exercise. So then we could just assume like, oh, a brand is a string and that's it. I'm not going to think about anything else here. But say, for example, like the exercise said, we need to store the representative and the phone number for the people of each brand, then this would probably become a new entity. So here you can kind of choose what you think would be the best to represent the brand, right? because it's perfectly legitimate to just have the brand as a new thing, like this brand, and then it'd have a name and an ID, and then this would just be a relationship between the two, right? So I'll do that, and for categories and specific categories, we kind of need a new entity as well. So category was specified in the exercise that it could have, like, there would be like main categories and secondary categories. This introduces like a relationship here between the different categories of like a tree structure that it needs to be modeled somehow, and then like a string on the product is just not enough. You need a new entity for it. So that takes care of categories and specific categories. The colors we can say are attached to the variant. Same with prices and sizes. So I could say like product variant. And the product variant would have like a ID and then like a specific like color or colors. Specific size and a price. Then we have reviews and discounts without campaigns. So here we can also say that it's like discounted price. So until here, does it make sense? Well, most stuff, at least. Yeah. So we're just going through, seeing like what the entities are, like what is the data, what are the things in this that we need to keep track of, and then just creating a bunch of tables to represent this stuff. The things that are left are reviews, which we'll see how we handle that. So I can just move it here. So we have reviews left. The products are all like taken care of. Different variants, blah blah blah. We need to take care of related products. And then the orders in the physical stores and stuff. So now that we have this, we can kind of start like making or writing down some of the relations we have here, relationships. So for campaigns are consistent of this product needs to be in the middle somewhere because it's going to be in like a bunch of relationships. There you go. Okay, so first we can figure out what is the relationship between a product and a variant, right? Here we can say that a variant is pretty much just like a generalization of a product, right? So if you take an example for example this, we have like if we have a bunch of different accounts, like checking accounts, savings accounts, credit accounts, these are accounts. So a lot of times, like the relationship, you can just, if you're reading out loud and reading the diagram, you can be like, a credit account is an account. It's just a more specific account, right? It's the same with the product variants. They are products, but they also have like some extra information that the product doesn't have, namely like what their price is, what their color and size is. So then for that, we can use a... this type of arrow. It's kind of small there, but yeah. I'll fix it when I publish it. So here we have like the product variant and then the product, and that's the relationship between the two of them. And then most of the stuff is actually refers to or has the effect on like the variant, not the product itself, right? So for example, campaigns, these are going to relate to the variant itself, where we can like have a bunch of these variants on discount, right? So here we could just have like a plain relationship, or we could have a type of composition. So just do none, and then for this side, we can have this one. So a campaign is composed by and a bunch of products, right? Because the campaign doesn't really exist without the products, and the products are all contained, or the product variants are all contained within the campaign, and they're used by the campaign. So, and then a, remember how to do, to then add the numbers next to the tables or to the entities. How do you go about doing it? I'll explain again. So for one campaign, how many variants or products should be in that campaign? We could say that like we're just creating a campaign and then we're going to add products later. Maybe we just want like a placeholder campaign that doesn't have any products, but we just have like, oh, this is, I'm already like planning ahead and it's going to be like a Christmas sale. And then I'll add the products later to that campaign. Then we can just use a that's not a good one. I just get the yeah here. Where'd they go? Yeah. So then we can say that one campaign is going to have multiple products or product variants, right? It can be zero, it can be infinity, it doesn't matter. So we just put a star there. By the way, the star is the same as having, if you ever see zero and then 2 points and then the star, that's the same thing as just having the star. And then for the product variant, one product can be in one campaign, it can be in like two different campaigns or three different campaigns. So you always have the item on discount as a marketing trick, because then people see that it's on discount and they go and buy it because they're thinking they're getting a bargain. But it's also just the normal price for the thing. So a variant, but it can also like not be a part of any campaigns. So then you can just put a star there, right? Because a product can be a part of one campaign, it can be a part of no campaigns, it can be a part of like all the campaigns that you run. So that's one relationship. And then say here for the brand is associated with a product because we can assume like all of the different variants. So like all, like a t-shirt that is S and a t-shirt that is M and a t-shirt that is L and a t-shirt that is red and blue, they're always going to have the same brand. And likewise, they're always going to have like the same category. A t-shirt is not going to suddenly stop being a t-shirt, and a XL t-shirt's not suddenly going to become like a blanket or something. It's always attached to the product. So here we can add a relationship to brand, and the style will be just plain thing. And here we can enforce that, like for one brand, how many products can have that brand? Like multiple, right? So we want to have on record all of the brands that we've had before, we're going to have in the future. Maybe we want to have like a brand, a collection of all the brands that sell all the things that we, of all the same types of articles that we have. If we enforce that the brand must be a brand for at least one product, that means we can't have brands that we don't commercialize. But say we want to also have in our database a brand of a product, and we don't have any products from that specific brand for reasons. Say I want to just keep track of what the representative for North Face is, so I can give them a call eventually when their products stop being like shitty expensive. Then it makes sense to have it, to have like the brand in the database, but just not have it attached to any products, right? But if we enforce like, oh, the brand needs to at least have one product, then we can't have that situation. So we can just say like, okay, a brand can be attached to multiple products, or it can be attached to no products, or it can be attached to infinite product. And then for one product, how many brands can commercialize that one product? Normally it's just one. We could have like more than one supplier, or yeah, but let's just say for the sake of simplicity, we just put a one here. Like a lot of this like ambiguous stuff, you will hopefully not run into when you're like solving these exercises or in the exam or whatever. If you do and you want to complain, just prepare some bullshit reason of like, oh, I thought it was this, and then you come and complain to me, and then if your bullshit reason is good enough, I'll give you the points, I guess. And you just need to plan whatever it is that's like, oh, I assumed this and this, and then you need to explain it. And if that's like the assumptions you make, because like as I said before, and I'm going to keep on saying, like a description of an exercise is very limited to how much you can actually get from it. You can't just, you know, you can kind of have to make assumptions. So if I saw like a one to many here, I'd be like, yeah, sure, that's fine. If I just saw this, I'd also be like, yeah, sure, whatever. I guess you assume this and this. But sometimes it won't make sense, and then you just need to prepare like, oh, yeah, this is what I thought, and I'll be like, okay, sure. less work for me to like just give you the points than to flunk you. So category, one product will have one specific category, and then that category can have like a parent. It's garbage. Yeah, good enough. So assume this is like, you know, main category relates to itself, right? So a category can relate to itself, and which means like, you know, you have one specific category that is attached to the product, let's say like hiking shoes, and then that relates to the main category, which is shoes. Which is what this specific part of the exercise was talking about, or this specific type up here. Category that's attached to product, and then the page is organized in category and specific categories. So then we have a bunch of relationships between the user and the product. So we have one that is shopping cart, we have one that is orders, and then we also have the stock stuff. And yeah, so we can start with the store. So the store is going to have a bunch of products on stock, right? And it's going to have a restocking date. With these relationships, it's sometimes it makes sense what the relationship is just by looking at it. So here, like a product has a brand, it's kind of like understandable enough. Sometimes it might not make sense. So like product variant, so you can always just be like give it a name and just be like it is stocked in so product variant is stocked in, and then you can give it a arrow to signify what the direction of the relationship is. So arrow from the left side to the right side means a product variant is stocked in the store, right? If we wanted the relationship to be directed the other way, we'd have an arrow pointing the left side, and then it'd be like store stocks like product variant. And then associated with the item being stocked in a store, we can add some parameters here that would signify both. So stock, like the amount, it would be the number and the restocking date. Restocking date. Then we can just have a dashed line that signifies this is a these are all the attributes of this relationship. So a stock, so a product is stocked in a store, and there is some more information about this relationship. It's not just like, oh, you know, this store has a bunch of these products. It's also there's a specific amount and there's a restocking date, right? So then a product variant is store can be stocked in however many stores. It can be zero if it's stocked in no stores. It can be like all the stores. We don't know. And then one store can stock a bunch of different products. If it's zero, the store doesn't have anything, which is unfortunate, but it can happen. If it's like a clearing sale or something. So then that's taken care of the physical stores or the stocking part of it. So that's one less thing. Jeez, my computer makes a lot of noise. I just noticed. Okay. And then we have a shopping cart and the orders, and they both have relations to relationships to the product and the user. So an order can be its own concept, I guess. So an order has a status. It has a it has some dates, whatever. So this would be like all the order dates, like when was it ordered, where, when was it confirmed, and all that stuff. I don't want to write all the fields, that's boring. And then an order, then we have like a three-way relationship between an order, a product, and a user, right? A user makes orders, and the orders are composed of products. Let's see, and this, this. So this is a ternary relationship. So a user makes orders, and that order has a bunch of variants, and the user orders variants through an order, through making an order. So then, how do we add the multiplicity stuff when it's a ternary relationship? Do you remember? I'll explain again. So when we have like a normal binary relationship like this, right? You go like one campaign, how many product variants can it have? Contains. So for one campaign, how many products does it contain, right? And the same way, the other way, for a product variant, like we could rename this relationship, and the product variant is contained in a campaign, or is discounted by a campaign. So one product variant, and how many campaigns can it be? Here the concept is the same, where you go like for one product, in how many orders and by how many users can it be ordered by. I'll take a break after this one. So for a product variant, and how many orders and by how many users can it be ordered by? And if there's no people to order a product and it's not contained in any products, doesn't matter. We can just ignore that. Wait. I'm actually removing this. Okay. I'll still explain the ternary stuff, but here it's actually maybe just better to have multiple products are associated with an order, and then an order is associated with a single user, like this. The relationship doesn't really involve like the three at the time. It only involves like one. So one product is ordered in an order, and then an order is done by a user. So one order can only be done by a user, and then one user can do multiple orders, can be zero, can be more. And then one product can be ordered infinite amount of times, and an order needs to have, here we need to put this, because you can't really make an order without having any product, right? So one order needs to have at least one product, and one product needs to be ordered, can be ordered like infinite amount of times. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take care of the rest after the break. So break. 1:15. Any questions about stuff? Okay. So next week we'll have the complaint meeting thing. So everybody just complain to your designated complaint getter, and give me some feedback, because there's still time for me to change what we're doing here, or if I need to, like, you know, go over some of the topics that I've already explained and cut some stuff or whatever, then we still have like quite a few lectures until the exam to approach all these problems, because the next meeting is going to be like after all this shit is over, so it won't really affect you, it'll only affect the people after you. So this is the last opportunity you have. Well, last opportunity, you can always send me an email, like, it doesn't matter. But, you know, last formal opportunity you have to complain. Yeah. So now that all that bureaucracy is handled, let's keep on going. So for the concept of a shopping cart, we can just have a relationship here like we had for stock, where it's like a relationship between a product variant and a whatever, a product variant and a user, and this would be like shopping cart, and it would have like the amount that of that product that is in the shopping cart of the user, right? All this is, I'll clean up the diagram when I post it, but yeah, this isn't, I've seen your diagrams too, so you can't say anything. That's not a knock on any of you as well, because diagrams usually end up looking like shit when they're huge. So, and probably are less helpful than they should be when they become that large. So we have stuff for orders and shopping cart now. And then for related products, we just have a relationship between product variant and itself, which would be like a related product or whatever. That would handle that sort of relationship like we do with category, right? And then for review, that is a bit trickier, because initially in the exercise we had that a review can only be made by a user, for products that they have ordered, right? What we can do when you have like stuff like that is you could have a relationship between product variant and the user that would be called review, and then it'd be like description, and then this is just you'd have like the product variant on one side, the user on the other side. But the problem with this is that it doesn't really create a constraint of the user has to have ordered this product to make a review in it. They could just like go to every product and just review bomb every product, being like, this is garbage, don't buy it. There would be like no constraints there. So if we attach that to the order, so an order is done by exactly one person and is done for a bunch of different products. So we could have this type of relationship or this type of data attached to this relationship. Like this. So this could be review. We could just have like a, yeah, text string, right? Okay. So a review is done between a product and an order. This way, we always, since it's attached to an order, and an order has exactly one user that has made that order, by transitive property, we know, like, this review was done by this user, and then it was done about a specific product, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So then this diagram fits all the stuff that we have, all the necessary things that we have in the exercise, right? Now the problem is, how do we go from this into the relational model? I'll just add a new document. Let's see. File, new, blank. Just copy this. Okay. It's kind of small, or? So again, it's always easier to start with this stuff that doesn't, or here we can just start with the relationship, with the relations, right? So we have product, and product would have an ID and the name and the description and the demographic. And then category would have an ID and a name. Underline this because these are the IDs. Again, a brand would have an ID and a name. A product variant would have an ID, a color, a size, and a price and a discounted price. A campaign would have an ID, a name, a start date. And an end date. A stock would have like stock, an amount, and a restocking date. Store, ID, name, address, phone, email, opening times. The review would be just the text. Order would have an ID, a status, and some dates. And the user would have the ID, the name, the address, the phone, and the email, and the shopping cart would have an amount, right? So these are all the entities that we have in the diagram, we just create some tables or some entities that relate to all of these, and this is the extent of the data that we have in the diagram, right? What is missing here, though? For all this stuff. What is in the diagram that is not here? Yeah. So this doesn't really give us how do all these different things relate to each other, right? We just have everything in a vacuum. Everything is just a table. There's no like foreign keys here. There's no relationship between stuff. It's just like individual things. So now we need to map those relationships into either new tables or new fields for each of the tables or whatever, right? And that depends on the type of multiplicity that we have associated with these tables. So say for category. The category has a relationship to itself, and this is I'm not going to bother trying to get that to work in the computer. I'll just do it like this. So we have a category that relates to itself. And it'd be like parent, right? So one category, which is a main category, would be the parent of a lot of different smaller categories, right? So one category, which is the parent, like contains all the subcategories. And one parent can contain multiple subcategories, and every subcategory would have to have at least or zero or one. Because if a category is a main category, it's not going to have anything above it, right? So its parent is going to be null. If it's a subcategory, then it's going to have at least one parent, or exactly one parent, because you know, hiking shoes can't be in both the shoe category and the t-shirt category. You could say that, like, oh, but when I envisioned how this exercise would be done, I would have a hiking category, and so then a subcategory could have like two parents, which would be like both shoes and the hiking category. If you can argue that, then you get the points. But if you just do something in the exercise and you can't really explain what you've done, then yeah, then you need to talk to some colleagues of yours and try and come up with an acceptable excuse for why you did what you did. So here we have category, and we have a one. You can't really see it that well, I guess. But yeah, we have a one-to-many relationship. When we have a one-to-many relationship in the diagram, we take the side that has many, and we can just add a new field to that many side for the one side. How does that make sense? Hopefully one of these works better. Let's see. This. Yeah. So let's assume these are two different entities. So we have main category, and we have subcategory. So we have one main category can have multiple subcategories, and one subcategory is going to have one main category, right? This means that if we're translating this into a table, the easiest way is we have a table that is subcategories. We have one table that is main categories, and if I'm like filling out these tables, it would be something like one would be shoes, two would be like t-shirts, whatever, right? And then if we're filling out the subcategories, you'd have like one which is, could be like hiking shoes, two that would be something like, you know, casual shoes, whatever. So there's three options when we're translating these relations into tables. One of them is we add another field. So we have, we can add another column to one of the tables that depicts like, okay, and with a foreign key. So if we add a foreign key here, that would be like subcategories. Here we'd need to have like one, two, whatever, right? The problem with this is you can have multiple values in a column, which kind of does it makes this not really work that well. So you can't add the column in the one side, right? Because adding the column in the one side means you're going to have multiple values in that column, and that's not allowed, right? So this can't work. The other option would be, okay, we can create another table that would map these sort of relationships. So we could have like that the main category. Here we would have that, you know, we have a row with shoes, and then we could have a row with hiking shoes, and then a row with casual shoes. The problem with this is, what if then we have another, we put like t-shirts, which is the two, and then we also reference hiking shoes. Then one main category would have, or two different main categories would have the same subcategory, which is also not allowed. So this would create a many-to-many relationship, which is not what we want. So the easiest way is to just take the many side, which is subcategories, the one that has the star in it, and just create a new field, which would be main category. And this way, every subcategory that we have can be related to exactly one main category. So hiking shoes could have like one here, and then we have, and casual shoes can also have a one here. And then we have that multiple subcategories can have the same main category. But we also enforce that, you know, this hiking shoes is always only going to have one. It's not going to have many. And then we can also enforce that main category can be a multiple, so we have a one-to-many relationship. Right? Does this make sense? Yeah. Okay. So that's approach one. And that's the approach we can take here. So category can have like a parent category, which is like the foreign key to category. And then we kind of enforce that there's some structure to it, right? Then we have a product can have a brand. So this is, a one-to-many relationship where one brand can be in, can have multiple products, but one product only has one brand. So then we can just add like a brand ID here, which would be a foreign key to brand, which means every product would have a brand ID, but and that enforces that every product has exactly one brand. And then we can also use that brand ID for multiple products, which make it so that, you know, one brand can have multiple products. Then we have, say, campaign and products. Here we have a many-to-many relationship. As we've seen, we can't really have a, we can't have multiple values in the same column. So that way of doing things doesn't really work. So then just to have like a many-to-many mapping, we just create a new entity that allows for all these rows to be created. So we can create a campaign or product. Use the same notation. Campaign products. Product, which would have a product ID, and it would have a campaign ID. So here we're kind of mapping that if we take one campaign and we want to find like what are all the products that this campaign has, we find its ID and then we go to campaign products and then we do a join and then we get all the products for that campaign and then we do a join with product to get all the products, right? So this is an easy way to just map. Every time you have a many-to-many relationship, that's what you need to do. Just create a new table and just have like the foreign keys to the tables that are on both sides. This is probably the easiest one. So same for stock here. We have we have a named relationship, so we have some more fields that we need to keep track of that like many-to-many relationship. So that's the amount and the restocking date. But then we also have a many-to-many relationship, which means we need to keep track of the product that is in stock and the store that has that stock, right? The only difference between this and the campaign product is that we also have these other things that are associated with the stock, which is how many they are and when is it restocked. If we only had these two, we would only have information that like, okay, this store has this product on stock, but we wouldn't have any other information. By adding that those two, then we both know, like, does it have anything? Like, how many are these? And when is it being restocked, right? And then we can take the product variant, user, order. So this is done, and this is done, and this is done, and this is done, and this, yeah. So then we have product variant, and product variant, we don't have the relationship here, but one product can have multiple variants, right? Or at least one variant. Or we can just do this. And one variant has to belong to at least one project. One product. So again, we have a one-to-many relationship. We go and find what is the side that has the star, what is the side that has the many, and its product variant. So then we can just add a field here that would reference product, so the product ID. So this means that every product would have a product ID, or is related to exactly one product, and then one product could have like multiple variants, right? And then for you have this self relationship, which is the related product, so related product, and that would have a variant ID one, or variant ID and variant related ID, because again it's a one to many to many, and one product can relate to multiple, and then one related product can relate to multiple original products. And then, what else do we have? We have the order. The order should have like products. Here we can have order. Again, it's like a many-to-many relationship, so we can just do like order product, and we would have the product ID, the order ID, and we have some extra information, which would be like the review. Did the user make a review when he did that order for that specific product, or did he not? And the shopping cart, here we only have the amount for the shopping cart. Oh, we also have a review that is an entity up here. So this could have like an ID, and then we're referring to a review ID. But the problem then is like we kind of have, why should we need like a other entity just to map this? Because one order product can at max like have one review, right? And one review is only going to be related to something that was bought, not multiple reviews. So then we have like a one-to-one relationship. Not a lot of times when you reach like a one-to-one relationship, you kind of need to stop and think, is like, does this make sense that these are separate entities? Like, do I need an extra table here to represent this information? Because one thing is always going to have like one thing related to it. So in this case, we could just replace the whole table of review here with just like a review text in this other, in the order product, and we wouldn't need to have like the extra table, because, you know, why have another table to maintain when you could just have that somewhere else? Does that make sense? Because one thing on the left side is always going to write something on the right side, so I just merge them. Yeah, and then the last thing I think is the shopping cart. So the shopping cart would be associated with a user and would be associated with a product. So for a user's shopping cart, we'll have that, you know, there's a product there, and then there's an amount of that product that is in the user's shopping cart. So if you compare this with the other diagram from yesterday, it's like almost the same. Like a lot of the assumptions that were made were kind of the same. Some slight variations here and there, like how we handled colors and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, they're both like valid enough that I would like give you a passing grade for like doing both of them. So yeah, 15 minutes left. So another thing that then you need to do is say you end up with like a model like this. A lot of times you're going to have some sort of like you're making this database for a reason, right? Like you want to retrieve the data in some way, present it in some way, that it kind of needs like your database needs to be structured in a way that will allow for all this stuff to work properly. So where is the other document? Yeah, this one. So here's some screenshots that I took from a sports outlet that were what this was inspired from. So say you want to create this menu up here, right? You need to like retrieve some categories. You need to retrieve the categories that are main categories, and then you can like create that menu with all the main categories. The way like you look at the relational model and you're like, okay, can I retrieve all the categories? There are main categories, just looking at that. And the answer is yes. Like you just go to the categories, select all of them that don't have a parent category, or the parent category would be null, and that's all the main categories for you. So that fulfills that requirement. Then say, looking at this page, can we, starting from the top, can we retrieve all the category or subcategories that belong to the main category of Intersport? So first you find a category, or the category that corresponds to that main category, right? And then you find all of the categories that have a parent that is that ID, right? So that also, you can also do that there. That's fine. What about like retrieving all of the products that belong to this main category or to ski? Then you look there and then you're like, okay, products, the products table doesn't really have any information about category. No. And then product variant doesn't have anything about category. Category doesn't have anything about products. So I can't really like fulfill that query by the stuff that I have, like how, where is the relationship between products and categories? There isn't. So those aren't really related in my diagram, in my model. And that means I'm missing something. So for product, one product is going to have exactly one like category, right? So if it's these sick ass skis, then they're going to be in the category of ski. So then we can just have here like that this should be in the category, should have like a foreign key to category. And then now when you look at it, it's like, okay, I need to find all the skis that have category ski. Then you can go and find like, okay, what ID has the name ski? Then I find the ID. And then from the ID, I find what the product is. Okay, that works. And then from the product, I can also find all the variants. So I have the ID of the product. Then I have the product ID here. So then I can also find like all the variants of all the product, right? So now by doing this analysis, we can like, we found out that there was something that was missing. There were some like relationships there that weren't in our model. So then we fixed it and it works, right? So this is the main way of validating, like, is my model like correct or not? Can I do all the things that I am expected, that I expected my model to be able to give me? So it's always good to like review like the relational model that you end up with and be like, okay, yeah, there's a, everything is here, everything is as I expected. There's if it's all the use cases, perfect. What about here? We have this bottle here that has a price. Then we also have the different types of articles. So we have like these different variant thingies. Can I zoom in? I think one of them was like a fireman or some shit and something else. Paw Patrol, I think. And then there's some different sizes. So these are like the different variants of these sippy bottles things. So with one product, can I find all the variants? Yeah, I have the bottle like sports flask school of sort, and then go there and find all the variants that are associated with that. I can do that, so then I can display those variants in this page. Yeah, that works. Can I find all the stores that have the stock of this thing? So I have a product, and then I find all the variants, and then from the variant, I go to stock, and here we have the stock associated with the product. So if I change the variant of the bottle, this is going to be the same because I only have the stock for the product itself, not for the individual bottle. So I don't know how many like Paw Patrols or like Peppa Pigs bottles I have. I only know like I have all these different bottles, but I don't know individually which of them is. Which means here for stock, I should probably have the variant ID instead of the actual product ID. So now I know like, oh, I have three Peppa Pig bottles, and I have five Paw Patrol ones, and I have zero for the firemen. So I am not going to allow the people to order or to create an order with any of those because I don't have any, right? And then here we have like a description, which is there, and we have some reviews. Well, there's no reviews there, but they would show up by going through product and then finding the variant, and then there's no variant here, it's a product. Then you could like argue like, oh, but does it really matter? Like maybe, you know, if t-shirts have different sizes, doesn't really matter if they have like different reviews or not, because it's all the same product, it's just some different like slight variations. So a review for an L is still like pertinent if the person is buying an M, right? So then you could argue here that like the order product, like the review text for it is still okay, and then this would be fine, right? So I can still like find the reviews by just going here and finding all the orders that were done, and then the review texts. And then for all the stores, we have for the stores we have the name and the address and phones and stuff. We can find all the stores. Yeah, that works. And then for the basket, we have these different products and these. It has the amount, have the product, it has a user that is associated with. So if I'm like logged in, I know like what is in my cart. That is kind of okay. Here in the screenshot, like in the Sports Outlet, you kind of have to specify the thing you're the store you're ordering from, but that's not in the exercise, so like we kind of can ignore that. And then for the other stuff that is in this screen, like stuff like the how much we need to pay, like you can get that by just summing up like all the products and fetching the prices for them. So we don't really need to store that in the database. So yeah, then we kind of can validate like, okay, I can do all the things that I wanted my database to do. And then like you can just assume like this exercise is correct, moving on, you know? So that is it. I'm sure it looks easy enough when I do it. I'm sure you're going to run into like a lot more problems when you do something like this and when you try to take both of the approaches, both the one that we did yesterday and the one we did today. You just need to try it yourself, see what feels the most comfortable, and yeah, just start doing that. Like, there's advantages and disadvantages to both of the methods. But the end goal here is to end up with a database that is good and usable. So however you reach that goal is up to you. And like if you're not doing any normalizations and you jump straight into like BNF, then that's the way it is. So yeah, just practice a bunch and you'll get there. Yeah. Okay. That is it, I think. So next week we'll go back into doing like SQL stuff. No more like boring theoretical stuff. We'll actually write code again. So that's nice. Yeah, you had the question about like the BNF and 3NF and stuff. Do you want me to explain that real quick? Or okay, yeah.